summertime is coming and the trees are sweetly blooming.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise, your host. Hello new listeners, hello medium listeners and hello old listeners. My blether is a bit creative this week. We have the Craft Fairy, the Scottish segment. I've got a very special Chamber of Craft with Knitter Scarlet, who has a special offer for you. I have the news and the hellos, and I'll let you know what the Me Show has been up to. I've got a review of Weekend Country Knits by Madeline Weston. I've also got a very exciting new venture about Give Local Fleece a Chance to talk to you about. I'm sponsored by my own business, www.energyhunt.com. As usual, I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place that you download this from, so relax, get the links later. So, get your cup of tea and your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. And no wine this week for me, okay?
No for the blather.
The blather creation. A while ago, I think it was Spundon or Sandrada, asked about creation of projects. Where does the creation start and how is it implemented? The definition of creation is a noun, the act of creating something created, particularly something special or striking. The universe, or often the creation with capital T. Christianity, God's act of creating the universe. Craft is all about the making of something, be it the making of yarn from fibre, making it into a garment by knitting or crochet, etc., or making cards from cardstock. I mentioned in the growing episode that there is a reason that you start a project, and often it is from a need that you have to fulfil, such as my Daisy has outgrown her cardigan and needs to keep warm, so I create a new cardigan. And that's the need part. We also have a want to create. I often want to make things, be it noise for you in this here podcast, or be it a textile art picture of my house. It's not a pressing need. I don't need to have a textile art picture of my house or need to make this podcast, but I want to. I want to think about how I'm going to make it, what I could see, what I could use to make it. I love this part of the project, which is the planning part. I bet a lot of you have made a project or two in your heads a few times over before you've actually put pen to paper or yarn to needle or fibre to spindle. I wonder if this is because I'm a project rather than a process crafter. Well, certainly for knitting and crochet. Not for card making or spinning or even podcasting, where I love the making part and the doing part. So don't get me wrong, I do love the making of knitting and learning new techniques, but I tend to get three quarters of the way through it and I just want it done so I can wear it or hand it on as a present. Textile artist, I love the doing of it also. I could go into the whole creation of the universe, but I find it's a bit of a big subject and, well, quite controversial. We all have our own beliefs and, of course, we respect everybody else's. But what or whoever created life should be congratulated on account of how wonderful it is. I marvel at our bodies, how the nerves of things connect to other things and how if we get a cut, our body tends to fix it. If we want to go for a walk, the majority of us, thankfully, can just go by standing up and moving those two things on the end of our legs. Also, look at your hands. See how your fingers wiggle. Clap them. Some of you have beautifully manicured fingernails and soft skin. Others have weathered cracked fingers with dirty fingernails. Well, that was me. I've been out gardening. I forgot to put the Vaseline on before I went. And the gloves. But let's all thank our hands for being there and having thumbs that help us pick up things, type things, sew things, crochet things, craft things. When I think of my mum or my dad or my grandma or even my husband, I can see their hands in my mind's eye. I see my dad's fat sausage fingers with their nicotine stains and short stubby fingernails fiddling with things while he watched cowboy films. I see my mum's hands as she cups my bairns' faces in them to kiss them and her long fingernails that she managed once or twice to put a sewing machine needle through. I see them making pizza dough, and my grandma's hands. As I knew her in her later life, she had wrinkly, thin-skinned hands, but oh, they were strong. She could wield her walking stick and waggle it above her head when she was dancing, and you did not need to get in her way. These memories make me smile, and I think of what wonderful things that hands are, how they hold and comfort a child, how they can sustain us and amuse us, and how they can craft for us too. Creation of life is a gift too. I was asked the other day by Sandy, where do babies come from? Now he's 5 and I want to say the right thing, so he's not overwhelmed but not ignorant either. But just to say that they are created by love isn't enough really for my Mr. Why. Why is everything, so I've left it for Daddy to explain. So why do you have this desire to create things? Even if it's just a piece of paper with a sequin glued onto it, you're creating something. Pat yourself on the back, believe in yourself. It would be nice to hear why, but not the baby's bit, because I know how that happens. I'd like to hear, are you thinking, is it a need or a want to create? And can you think of other reasons to create that I've missed? I'd also like to point out that a good card-making resource website and a magazine of a shop called craftcreations.com. If you go to the website and click the free project section, they have back copies of their magazines where they've got hundreds of card-making ideas, a lot of which I have attempted. Their shop's pretty good too. I've not used it in a while, but I have some good card-making stuff from them. And it's because it's called Craft Creations, it reminded me of it. So moving on. Warning, if you need a pee, stop, then come back because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. So, Craft Fairy segment.
Craft Fairy.
I've been craft fairied some woolly smelly goodness. I'm just about the proud owner of some newly sheared Jacob sheepies from Monochrome Sheep. Update your blog, Al, please, and show us the pictures of them all looking tidy. Some white fleece from the mules as well, thanks Al and Sarah. Some Shetland fleeces as Vorbal, which I had to look out how to say, and I'm still saying it wrong, so apologies for that. It sounds like Womble, but I know it's not. And I will be very busy and very happy. Rachel of Knitting Kitten fame was over in Orkney and succumbed to buying some North Ronaldsay yarn. Go you, Rachel. And the spinning group has craft fairied themselves an Ashford Wild Drum Carder and Picker. We can use it when the Castleton Heritage Centre is open. And that's wonderful. Please carry on putting in photos of your projects onto the Ravelry group section because I do look at them. I had a good nose around the other night. I got them mixed up this week and I complimented the wrong person, but I think they're all lovely, so sorry. But I do look. Also, sending the warmest of get well wishes to Judith's Aunt Janny in Holland, who's not been well. And anyone else needing a hug, Daisy and Sandy send a hug, because they're good at hugging. Hello, section.
Hello.
Hello, Sandy. Hello to Knitting Scarlet, Lady Wigan, Leah T, Sheepish One, Rocky MT Mama, Ruth Crafts and PGS, who all joined the group in Ravelry. I love the chat and your project pages. And PGS, you've disappeared. And I'm also dancing with the little messages, but keep them coming. I like the cheek. Keep up the drive-by friending too, because they make me smile. Also, more random hellos to Tooth Fairy, Volks Knitter 54, Torin, VT Gale and Momo Knits. I'm going to keep the random bit to 5 from now on because I read somewhere someone didn't like lists and lists of names. Now, I love it when my name gets mentioned on podcasts, so hello to you all, thank you for listening. But I can imagine if you don't get mentioned, then it would be a bit rubbish. If you want mentioned, just shout, and then you too can jump up and down and smile like I do and wave at the ether when you're listening to something and you know the person's not there, but hi. Hello to the new Twitters. Tweet me back, I'll say hello and twit back. Well, most people say tweet, but no, I pretty much twit. We've had some good fun in there the past few Fridays. Mind you, I do get quite funny when I've had a small glass of ginger cider. It was very Moorish. It was good fun. I tried out the Follow Friday thingy where you do a shout out to some of your followers as a suggestion to the other followers to follow them. Do you follow? I don't do it very often as I kind of need to be in the mood and concentrate hard enough to do it. Well, this was pre-ginger cider. But we had great banter and Daisy Frog had no idea what it was all about when I told her that she was thinking nobody would want to follow her and she'd be like the last racehorse nobody picks because you go for the cool name. So I then demanded everybody follow her because she's not a horse. She's called Daisy. And actually, a lot of people have started following her and I noticed that they have lots of conversations, so that's quite funny. But speaking of Daisy, I think I have a whole new section called Daisy Disasters. My bairn is a monkey. She's in a few this week, but the craft-related ones is where I came back in from watering the polytunnel to find her on a chair with my crochet in one hand and a big pair of scissors in the other. Thankfully, she cut the ball of yarn. I know we only lost about 3 metres, but it was her cardigan. And after one particular toddler tantrum kind of day, she went upstairs and poured acrylic varnish over my quilted square that I'm currently working on. I was an angry mummy, and she spent a good deal of time thinking about her actions. But she's been reasonably good since then, so I'm happy to report that.
What's the e-crack section?
What's the crack section? Have you all got your Entangled e-zine from Zinio? Issue 1 is out now. I have mine, and it is fabulous. Thank you, Granny G, for doing this. Go to Zinio and look up Entangled. If anything, read Rachel Rayner's articles. She's a legend in her own lifetime, I think. Also, for us textile artists, that's me, Vaydreamer, Dishcloth Diva so far, and Torrent, and who was the other one? Stacey W, I think. We would still like to do a fibre postcard swap. So I bumped up the thread, albeit I did it last night, I said I was going to do it before, and I've messaged Vaydreamer and Dishcloth Diva for their addresses, and we'll get this party started. Well, the only rules are that it's postcard sized. It could be any colour, materials, craft, theme, world's your oyster. It's just nice to get something nice in the post. Especially if you're in Canada and the posties are on strike. Get it sorted, Canadian posties, or I'm sending Daisy round. Then you'll be in trouble. I was very kindly mentioned in Cloudy with a Chance of Fibre podcast from the lovely Nat. She started following me on Twitter and I realised who she was and followed her back and thought, oh here, that's Nat from Cloudy with a Chance of Fibre. Oh, she's cool. So she hails from Pacific Northwest in your USA and along with Rachel hosts this podcast. Also, Nat does a wonderful Nat Knit Daily, which is a sort of daily newspaper online collated from her crafting searches every day. She mentioned me one day as I'd asked some random question and she included me. Then she mentioned me in episode 28 of her podcast. So this was very kind and I'd like to return the favour for my listeners. Hello to anyone coming from her recommendations and I would like to recommend Cloudy with a Chance of Fibre, which you can get from iTunes and Libsyn. I'll make sure that there's a link in the said show notes. See, follow someone on Twitter and this happens. Hi Nat, how are you? A big fan. Knitting Loom Competition. Sandy and I did the draw and he chose Wooragi, or Wooraj, or Fran, she's called Fran, from Beechworth, Australia. Hiya. Congratulations, and the loom will be on the way to you. Okay. Right, we're nearly into July. This is nearly the seventh month. So firstly, who here is adhering to their 11 shawls or mittens, etc. in 2011? Anyone? Yep, you at the back. Well, that's good. If you're not there, it is still time to get back on track. And if you are, I would still want some photos, please. Secondly, I was watching a bit of Crate and Craft shopping channel one night and they have launched their Christmas card ranges. It's June. Yes, I know people like to be organised, but really, Christmas stuff in June? I don't wonder we're reminded of snow. We've had it forever. Some of the US have just got rid of theirs. Please let us enjoy June and July and then we can start thinking about late August or September. Ran over. Thirdly, Sandy's nursery career is almost at an end. He's got a week to go and then he's going to primary school after the holidays and I'm very proud of my little boy and my wee bairn turning into a quite handsome little boy. Speaking of holidays, we are going down to family south of London soon for a week. Obviously I'm not going to tell you again exactly when, so my stash is safe. Get your own stash. If you're about the Horley area, please get in touch if you know any good yarn shops nearby. I realised the other day that I've not bought any yarn whatsoever since March when I was down in Glasgow, and some of which I have used. Well, the next bit of roving I'm going to talk about isn't really yarn, so it doesn't count. Okay, so just pretend you didn't do that. So I may treat myself to a wee skein of something luscious whilst I'm south. Or something, anyway. So we fly from Inverness to Gatwick with Daisy. Think snakes in a plane. I'm really sorry, other fellow passengers. I'm a bit sad I'll not be down over Knit Nation, which is the weekend I am not down south. I missed it by a weekend. But Giffnit Girl is going to be along and a few more of you. So I wish you the best time in the world and I look forward to hearing about it from you and I make and a playful day. And hopefully Hoxton and Yarns from the Plane. See everybody else is going, except me. But it is quite a long way, you know. Giffnit Girl very kindly offered me to get something while she was there. And I was going to pay for it mine. But I asked her to do me a report for you instead and to go and have a lovely time. We do plan to have a lovely time ourselves. We're going to the Maritime Museum. The bairns get to go to Soft Play because we don't have any of them in Caithness. There's a good swimming pool in Horley, hopefully still. Hopefully Mr. Cameron hasn't closed it yet. And maybe, just maybe, Loop in London. Or if anyone has a good suggestion, please tell me. And we're going to Southampton, apparently. We got to go there. I just thought we were going for a looky, but then he went, oh no, he wants to go and look at boatyards. Sneaky. So any yarny goodness near Southampton too, because that was the deal. He gets a boatyard, I get a wool shop. Also, as I'm off on my holly bags, my schedule will be a little honky-tonky-wonky-donky, so bear with me. I will not disappear, but working around said holidays. So I may get one earlier, I may get one later. Also, if you're going to Teen the Park, please go and watch two bands. Number one band, The Carnivores, who played Thurso recently, mostly hail from Glasgow, but one, Grant McCall, was at school with my hubby. And also, the very hairy Cassidy, with a K, who I'd heard on Radio 2 one night and thought they were quite good. Follow them on Facebook, and they're quite amusing. They played Glastonbury last night, and I wish I was there, but my graduate is going, so I'm living vicariously through him. Remember, the Gaelic Wool Festival is coming to Benderloch near Roebourne in Argyll on the 21st of July. Go to the Highland Nitwits discussion board for further information on that. I found a nice quilting podcast. It's called Quilting Daydreams and is on Podbean, sort of like me. And her tagline is, a podcast about my journey as a beginner quilter and the lessons that I learn along the way. Join me as I grow as a quilter. And she is growing very well. I've enjoyed listening to her, and I've got similar learning experiences as myself. So, if you're interested in quilting, go give her a listen. She's getting quite a few listeners too, by the numbers. And you have a job to do. And if you don't, I'm not speaking to you. I've got a link to a listener map on the show notes and on the Podbean webpage in the Ravelry group. And I've shamelessly stolen this idea from you, Nick. Cheers, pal. So, go there, and it will likely open up at Caithness in Canada. I didn't even know there was a Caithness in Canada, but yes, there is, right beside St Andrews. And it's zmaps.com, but go for the link because it's much easier. And go to the Edition tab on the top left and put a pin on it. And I really want to put in the Beyoncé song. If you liked it, then you should have put a pin in it. Ooh, and finally, I figured out I don't actually see the American iTunes reviews. So I found that I had a few in there. So thank you all to you on iTunes. Martine from iMake had asked the same question as I had wondered, if we see all the reviews, but we don't, if we're not in your country, because I'm only in UK iTunes, I don't see any reviews. So if you've put a review in Australia, I've not looked at it yet, but thank you. Like I say, I don't get my knickers in a twist, but I went and had a look. So thanks for all the iTunes reviews, I do appreciate them. But if you don't do it, I'm not going to be upset. Just put yourself on the listener map. Otherwise, I'll not speak to you. Right, Crafting Chamber of Commerce. Now, this comes with a warning, because if you're skint, you're going to struggle. This episode's Chamber of Commerce has come about because I was drinking wine 2 Fridays ago. Can you remember that? Yeah. We had a wee nippy head the next day, and then I remembered, oh, you're a boat rover last night. I didn't wake up tied to a lamppost with no clothes on, so it wasn't that bad. Anyway, I'll take you to the point. I follow Knitter Scarlet on Twitter. And I kind of mind who started following who, but she has an Etsy shop. And last Friday, she asked for suggestions for a name for a new alpaca bat that she had dyed. It was blue and yellow, and I thought, sea and sandy beach. And I was talking aloud, because I sometimes do that. And my Sandy said, that's my name. So I told her, and she very kindly called it Sandy Beach. Aww. So at the night time when I was editing the last episode, remember the wine one, she put it onto her Etsy shop and told everybody on Twitter, and I went in and bought it. And it has arrived, and it is lush. I think that's the best adjective I could say, because it's soft and squishy and very nice colours. I have a photo of my Sandy holding it. If I was clever, I would take him to the beach holding it. Anyway, I got to chatting with Knitter Scarlet, and I asked if she would like to be featured on this year's Chamber of Commerce, because we've not had one for a while, and I like her stuff. So I sent her the usual questions, and here are the replies. Plus, listen out for the end bit. Unless you're really skint, in that case, there's nothing to see here. Come back when you've got money. She's very kindly given us an offer, which is this podcast's first proper listener offer. How nice is she? So this is Knitter Scarlet from Etsy Story. She is knitterscarlet@aol.com, and you can get in touch with her from her Etsy store at www.knitterscarlet.etsy.com or her blog www.knitterscarlet.blog.co.uk. She's also on Twitter, Ravelry, Facebook as Knitter Scarlet. Of course, I will have these in the show notes so you can link very easily. And I asked her firstly, tell me your crafty journey to where you are now. So she said, I took up knitting again when I was 19, which was 18 years ago, when I came out of a bad relationship and left home. So I was in a flat on my own, I was bored, and I thought, what better way to use up my spare time than to knit? Back in 1996, I got engaged and suffered my first miscarriage in 1997. Shortly afterwards, I got married and we began to try for a baby straight away. During these 2 years, I had become accepting knitting orders for baby wear and toys, and in 1998, I had another miscarriage and I was referred for tests at our local sub-fertility unit. We went through numerous tests, and at this point I began saving my IVF treatment through an online site called Kath's Knitting, which I used both as an information page about infertility and also advertising my knitting. Many years later, and many miscarriages later, I underwent my first IVF cycle on the NHS, which failed, and then managed to get enough money together to fund a second IVF cycle, which again failed. I'm now in the situation where I'm saving as much as I can to fund my third and final IVF cycle next year. Due to ill health, I'm unable to work, so my crafting is the only way of getting some money to help pay for my IVF. I tell everyone about my infertility and miscarriages, as I believe it is wrong that such a taboo subject, and you would be surprised how many women have gone through miscarriage and infertility. I actually completely agree with her there as well, and I thought, how much courage is it to come forward and say these things, because I'm sure you know, like I do, people have had miscarriages and who have gone through IVF. So I just wish you all the best with that, we really do. So then I asked what her favourite craft was. My favourite craft will always be knitting, although I do enjoy my spinning and beading, but I find knitting such a calming thing to do. I agree with you there. Now, your favourite part of the business. My favourite part of the business is hearing back from my customers how much they love the items that they have bought. Well, this customer loves the item I have bought. It's one of them that I just want to look at because I'm scared I'll not spin it up nice enough. There's some feedback from me. Oh, and Etsy, which is like eBay, does like you to do feedback. I didn't realise this, but I've now done it. So please leave some for her if you buy stuff. I then asked, what top tips have you for having your own crafty business? She said, I suppose my one and only top tip for crafting as a business is to enjoy it. The moment you stop enjoying it, stop and try something else. Because in the beginning, I only sold knitwear. And then I got into beading and I sold a lot of necklaces. And then spinning came along and of course hand-dyeing the fibre. This variety gives me a good choice of things to do on the days that my mojo disappears. Thank you very much for that interview. She's very, very kindly given us an offer, and I know she's been busy the past week getting ready some lovely, beautiful items for us. And she says, to get a 10% discount, your customers can use the coupon code COLLECTIVE at the checkout. I'll give you the contact details again. Her email address is knitterscarlet@aol.com, and you can get in touch with her at her Etsy store at knitterscarlet.etsy.com. Or her blog, knitterscarlet.blog.co.uk. She's also on Twitter, Ravelry, and Facebook as Knitter Scarlet. And if you find any of my details, you'll be able to find hers because we're linked in quite a bit. I would like to thank her for her alpaca, her time, and her offer for you. So off you go. Go and buy, because it's lovely. And then I'll not feel so bad. And if anyone wishes to be featured in the Chamber of Crafting, please get in touch. Especially if you want to give offers, because that was lovely. Right, thank you very much, Knitter Scarlet. Now, I've got some more exciting news of a fleece campaign in the UK. I've been messaged by our Caroline from Vimto Craft Group, who has decided to start the Scott Flock. The Scott Flock is an offshoot of Claire Crompton's website, which is www.givefleeceachance.com. Claire is a knitwear designer and the author of several knitting, crochet and cross-stitch books, including the bestseller, The Knitter's Bible. I've got this one! I love her knitting handbags. I love you, Claire. Sorry, calm down, Louise. Her campaign aims to promote the use of local wool and connect local sheep producers with nearby spinners, knitters, crochet hookers, weavers and felt makers. To highlight this worthy campaign, there's a flock of wee knitted sheep featured on the website. Each of these sheep has been spun and knitted from wool produced locally in the southwest of England. Claire has kindly agreed to include a Scottish, mainland and islands flock on her www.givefleeceachance.com website under other flocks. Caroline is hoping that the Scott Flock will soon be numerous enough to start up their own website. If you would like to take part, all you need to do is make a wee woolly sheep from the attached pattern, which she sent me, this is by the email. And if you're not able to make a sheep, don't worry, you may still be able to help by supplying fleece, spinning some yarn, making some felt, etc. Now, I've got the links and the patterns for this, and if anyone wishes to join in the fleece campaign, I think it's a great idea because I look at all the sheep around me and I think, I could spin you now, I know how to. And they're not all blue fleece Leicesters or Merinos, but my Jacob fleeces are actually pretty soft and worth celebrating. I'd love to have a Caithness brand for fleece from our county, such as the North Ronaldsay is from your Orkney. I'd like it for people to come and visit our county and say, here, I must get some of that Caithness yarn. I look all over for it like I do with the Arcadian stuff. Well, this is the line in the sand, and this is the foot we start with. So, www.givefleeceachance.com, and Caroline is starting up a Ravelry group for Scott Flock, and has a Twitter account for Scott Flock. And as usual, like I say, with Light Knitters Carol, go to my contacts and you'll find them from there. If you want the pattern, I can send you the pattern, no bother whatsoever. They're quite funny little sheep. And one day Caroline announced that she was making a sheep, and we all kind of went, "Have you introduced the ram to the ewe?" We took her a bit too literally. We should have known better. So go make sheep, go enjoy local fleece.
The review section.
Review section. Country Weekend Knits by Madeline Weston. This is published by Jackie Small and it retails in at £16.99, which I think it's worth for the patterns in it. The book is a collective of 25 classic patterns for timeless knitwear taken from the magazine Country Living Magazine, which my good friend Sarah often buys. So, Sarah, you probably don't need to buy this book because you'll already have the patterns. The book is split into four chapters, which are Ganzes, Fair Isle, Arran and Shetland lace patterns. There, of course, is a technique section at the back, along with a picture directory, stockists and acknowledgements, and it lists the names of knitters which you don't see very often, and I quite like that. The introduction explains that Madeline Weston is the author, is also the owner of the Scottish Merchant Shop in London's Covent Garden. Oh, you remember, I could visit that when I go up. And in the first year of opening in 1970, they were introduced to Margaret Stewart, who lived in Shetland. Margaret had a collection of old Fair Isle knitting, and she sent the shop a small parcel to try and to sell. The old patterns proved very successful, and it started out a journey for Margaret and Madeline. It also led to other traditional knitting in Scotland and around the British Isles, such as the Ganzes, the Arran jumpers and the Shetland lace. And there are about five patterns at least for each chapter, and in each section there is a nice historical introduction to the group of designs. In the Ganzes section there is a New Biggin pattern, which is from a wee village in Northumberland, just about where my mum grew up. The introduction to the Ganzes is written very nicely, and of course the Ganzes is a subject in itself. Then it has a few nicely photographed pages of the designs, and then after that is the pattern pages themselves with slightly less artistic photographs so you can see how to do the technical bits. I'm pleased to see that some of the patterns specifically in the Fair Isle section use Jameson and Smith's yarn. Remember, big up the blog a few months ago, we mentioned them, and this makes it a very British book, which is nice for us of course. Sorry, rest of the world, it costs you a bit more to send stuff over. In the Shetland lace section it has a really good introduction and tells us about the ring shawls that I would like to make. It says that the ring shawls are knitted from one ply lace wool and they were highly prized and could take a whole winter to complete. So fine was the hand-spun wool that 57 grams of fleece could produce 5,500 metres of yarn, and the finished shawl was so delicate that, although perhaps measuring 2 metres square, it could be pulled through a wedding ring. I don't think she'd mind me reading that out word for word because she put it so beautifully. A whole winter to complete. That must have been an amazing amount of work, especially if you were knitting for other items as your family and yourself. The success of Shetland lace is also down to the quality of the wool, because the Shetland sheep is a small, hardy, ancient beastie with long staples and very fine and soft wool. And yes, I'm getting some of them. Digress. The demand for the lace died down until after the Second World War, and more recently with the revival of knitting, and now it is a must-do on most, including this one's knitter's list. This book has some beautiful photographs which are more artistic and functional, as it shows the garments being worn in artistic settings rather than showing you the front, the back, close up of all details and no faces so you can put it together. This means, along with the scant 4 pages of technique, that this book assumes that you have a reasonable skill as a knitter, which is fair enough. I mean, you maybe couldn't just waltz into a Fair Isle jumper having only ever knit a scarf for this book. But for those at this level, I would say that this is a really good pattern book to have. 25 seriously beautiful traditional patterns and have some modern twists for £16.99 is good value. And it is what I would define as proper knitting. So, Country Weekend Knits by Madeline Weston.
Big up that blog section.
Big up the blog section. www.sunrisesister.org. Now, she lives in the foothills of Mount Dandenong in Australia. She posts recipes, she spins, sews, knits and has two patterns on Ravelry to buy, which is good, and have a wee looky at her blog. The reason I found her blog is because I was looking at what to do with 109 grams of alpaca and she had some on her blog and it's really bonny, so there's hope for me yet. I particularly liked her recipes and she seems like quite a nice lady to follow. So if any of you have blogs or selling websites, please put them on the Ravelry thread and everyone else can find you. I do have a look, you know. That was www.sunrisesister.org.
Scottish segment.
So back to the Scottish segment. We interrupted Mary Queen of Scots for thistles last week, and I have dug out about 100 thistles from my garden with a hand fork after the standing on them incident. Eeyore will be a happy little donkey and have a full tummy. So, Mary Queen of Scots had a baby boy who was James VI of Scotland. He was coronated as king when he was tiny and he was carried in the arms of Earl of Mar. He shall be now known as Seamus, which is the Gaelic for James. And this is an important person in the history of the United Kingdom because his Aunt Elizabeth, the first of England, died in 1603 and he became the heir to the Kingdom of Scotland and England. I'm sorry, I don't know about Wales. So he moved to London when this happened and he only returned to Scotland once. According to this book I'm using, he was awkward in appearance, he had no manners whatsoever and he never washed his hands. Minger. I suppose that his mother dying early, he had nobody to tell him off and say no to because you need that, really, don't you? He sat himself as the head of the church and he appointed the bishops governing the Presbyterian in Scotland. And then he had Charles I. He attempted to impose the English style of church onto Scotland in 1637, but the Covenanters were having none of it, and in 1640 the Scottish Parliament abolished the rule of bishops and removed the king from the position of head of church. And this is when we get into the English Civil War, and the Scots sided with the Parliament side as Charles had refused Presbyterian worship in England. That's all, I suppose, quite important to this history. So then Charles got defeated and he wanted sanctuary in Scotland, who then handed him back to Cromwell's Parliament, who chopped his head off in 1649. I bet he was thinking, oh, thanks very much, Scotland. Scotland felt a bit bad for that. So they offered Charles' son, Charles II, exile, and they crowned him at Scone Palace at 1651. He invaded England, but he was beaten back and went into exile. And then he wheedled his way back into royalty in England in 1660, and he changed the church rule again. And that was back to the appointing of bishops himself, which annoyed the Covenanters again. And there was a big fight at Bothwell Brig in 1679. But on a more pleasant note, Charles II rebuilt the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh, even though he never set foot into it. This is now the Queen's official residence when she visits Edinburgh, and it is a wonderful tourist attraction. We go on to James VII next episode, and I shall call him Shame, which is short for Seamus. Right, oh yes, me, it's the Me 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 Show. Did you forget that you were listening to me? Are you still awake? Right, I've carried out the crochet cardigan for Daisy. I'm just about finished. I may well be by the time this airs, so check out my Ravelry project and also the Flickr photo stream on the Podbean hosting website. I found the sewing the arms on a bit tricky, but the edging of the crochet, which was a pretty scallop pattern, was fun and pretty quick to do. I have to report that the yarn squeaked. Sirdar Snuggly 4-ply is 55% nylon, 45% acrylic and has mice squeaking at you sometimes. But this yarn has its place and it will be worn by Miss Daisy, who does like to roll around in actual daisies, and it will be required to be washed often. So that's why. Plus the pattern was written for it and it suits it. I'm going to report that again, as I'm not really brilliant at following patterns. This here pattern for the Lacey cardigan and hat set number 1900 is not the easiest to read for the shaping bits. I actually think it's me, but pattern writing people hear my plea. I want to be better, and it's just not in me to make things up, so please make it easy for me to understand. Hear my plea as I hold my crochet hook in the air like Scarlett O'Hara holds aloft some mud from Tara and swears she'll never be hungry again. Anyway, I also carried on with my quilting panel that's going to be a bag but was a cushion. I changed my needle, I changed my thread, I even tested out for tension and I rattled through a lot of squares. This is the Daisy Disaster Square. I seem to have saved it, I think I've washed it off. But there are some slightly shiny bits. Anyway, I'll let you know how it goes on. I had bought way back in March a decoupage card kit of a dinosaur for Sandy's little friend who is dinosaur daft. And of course, I've had this since March and I only made it the night before his birthday. I did go to it last week, but I couldn't find my little sharp scissors. I did like having a total kit, in a lazy way, but it was all matching up and it was roaringly good. Dinosaurs, roar. No knitting to speak of, other than I'm nearly finished the crochet. I'm going back to my cardigan and fix a mistake that I had been plotting about doing a shawl. I've been dreaming about doing shawls. I decided quite a while ago, I've told you before, I'm going to start with the pie shawl. And I have to admit that I thought that the Elizabeth Zimmerman pie shawl was for covering pies, as in apple pies. I just figured, well, she lives in America. But no. It's to do with the maths equation, 3.14, blah, 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 blah. This person here was not very good at maths. And although I can count to 10, I stopped letting this information into my brain once I had left high school. And it won't stay in my head. So much that when my husband's talking about maths, because he's an engineer, he needs to know all about it, and he loves things like that. He loves equations, he loves hitting things with hammers, and he loves knowing all about these physics things and mathsy things, and he was good at them. But to me, this shawl is for covering pies to keep the flies off them. So if anyone wants a bit of pie, here you go. Anyway, after I've done the pie shawl out of my hand-dyed yarn, I want to do an ishbel shawl with my hand-spun yarn, which I've done a fair bit more on the other night, so we're getting there with that hand-spun. And then I remembered, oh yes, I've still got to finish the brioche hat for hubby. And so nobody remembered me about that, especially not me. Mum had the needle and she said she'd take it back to me, so I'm going to get this brioche hat nailed. I'm going to count. I know I said about the maths thing, but I can count. So if I count, it will be fine. Plus, I need to take a small project with me on my holiday, so I'll have to find something I think that'll do. Lastly, did you see the new edition of Knitty Patterns for Autumn? Very nice stuff in there. Let's hope Hoxton does a good review of it.
The blah 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 section.
So that's me. Now for the blah 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 bit. Right, thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. I try and sound sincere when I say that bit, but I do appreciate it. If you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or the email is keithneyscraftcollective@gmail.com, or please leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. Now, you can get me on iTunes or on www.keithneyscraftcollective.podbean.com. I'm on Twitter as keithneyscraft. Go and give me a cheek, you know you want to. I'm on Knitty as keithneyscraft. I know I'm not speaking to you. All the links are in the show notes, so go there, click anything you want more information on. And the music this week is Wild Mountain Time by Mark Gunn from www.musicalley.com. Playing us in and playing us out. So cheers for listening and keep on crafting.
Go together to Wild Mountain Time all around. Will you go? I see go. Will you go? I see go. We go.